I believe it's always an exciting thing to get into the Word of God, and I trust that, Lord willing, and as the Lord tarry, He encourages us in this study. And we will begin the study in 1 Peter. And God willing, we will go through 1 Peter and 2 Peter. And if you have your Bibles, let's go ahead and open up to the first epistle of Peter. And we find here Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. We find here Peter called to be a disciple. We find here Peter, a zealous man for the things of God, so talented, so ready to go and do. Peter, commended by Jesus Christ. It was Peter who confessed Jesus more boldly than any other disciple. Peter saw Jesus transfigured in glory. Yet it was Peter who was rebuked by Jesus. Peter alone among the disciples was addressed by Jesus as, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Yet Peter stepped out of the boat during a raging storm and walked on the water with Jesus. Peter was the one who cut off the right ear of Malchus, the servant of the high priest. Peter said to the Lord, "Even if I have to die with you, I won't deny you." Yet Peter denied Jesus three times, cursing and swearing that he did not even know the man, refusing to even name the name of Jesus. Yet Peter was the one who ran with John, the disciple, to the tomb on the morning of the resurrection after hearing that the body of Jesus was not in the tomb. Peter was a leader at Pentecost. Yet it was Peter, the one who would be rebuked by Paul face to face over his legal ways. And yet Peter, the writer of these two epistles, it is said, was received into glory after being crucified upside down. Wow. What a life. What a life of apparent failure, of tribulation and trial. What a life of the wondrous patience of the Lord working in him. And brothers and sisters, I truly have to state, and being encouraged of the Lord, that I believe this dear brother of ours truly apprehended the grace of God. And he found that true strength only lies in weakness. And one of the great messages of, and probably the one that we will hear, I think, so clearly in these epistles, is the true meaning, the true magnificence of suffering together with Christ Jesus. Now, as we enter this study, oftentimes I believe 1 and 2 Peter is quite often overlooked. And I mean overlooked by grace saints. I've heard comments over the years, "Well, just stay with Paul's epistles." Now, there's great wisdom in that, but I will tell you, I hope that we find, as the Holy Spirit truly does open up this study, that this is truly a continuation of Paul's sweet dispensation. This is the same Holy Spirit, I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, that was working in Paul, that testified to Paul, that testified to this brother's life of the high calling doctrine. And I believe it will be evident. And as a matter of fact, there's many scholars today that still claim that it wasn't Peter who wrote this 1 and 2 Peter at all. They say it had to be Paul. It sounds too much like Paul. It had to be Paul penning these words. And I have to say, there was no greater compliment to the working of the Holy Spirit and the testimony in and through Paul to Peter. It was no doubt that Peter was the one that penned these two epistles. But there was no doubt that the Holy Spirit was convicting this life to write, and I will say, and to minister the very high calling of God in Christ Jesus. But again, there was no doubt that Peter knew Paul, and he knew Paul well. He respected Paul. He endeared, was endeared with Paul, that the truth and love that came forth from this brother was the very depth of the word. And I believe that the epitome of this testimony was there in Galatians 2 when Paul came and rebuked Peter face to face. He rebuked him. This was Peter, if you really think about it, who in a sense was so outspoken, such a leader in the things of God, and yet here was Paul, as some would say, the new kid on the block. But yet Paul was led by the very grace and love of God, and he knew the truth. He could rightfully divide that word that was given to him, and he rebuked Peter face to face over that legality. And the beautiful thing about this is, I don't know how Peter immediately took it. I don't know exactly what happened. But as I've been encouraged with the Lord, it's not necessarily how we start or how we get in the middle. It's all in how you finish. Let me tell you something. It's all in that you finish it with joy. And Brother Peter in 2 Peter 3:15 and 16, he clearly states of the glorious wisdom and truth and love and the utter depth of that high calling message that was in Brother Paul. And he said that those that are unrestful in the Word of God, it's because they're wrestling with these scriptures and wrestling with the grace of God that was brought through this sweet brother. So Peter did know it. Peter knew Romans chapter 2 verse 16, where it says that God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to Paul's gospel. He knew that. He was convicted of that. And by the grace of God, we're going to read through these epistles and we will find out that Peter again rejoiced in it and allowed the Holy Spirit to speak through him and write these things. Yet I do think it is also vital, brothers and sisters, to understand that even though that Peter witnessed and was encouraged of the Holy Spirit to write of this high calling message in Jesus Christ, just as there were types and shadows of it that were penned through the prophets, such as Moses and Daniel, this reward of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus was not for Peter. Now, many don't understand that, but let's again rightfully divide the Word of God. Just like Brother Moses saw the promised land, he was not able to enter in. Just as Brother Daniel was opened up the very heavens and the very heavenly vision, the wonderful things that he was able to see in that depth. And he said, Lord, I want to understand this. I want to see the end of this. And the Lord closed it up. And he said, it's not for you. Just the same with Peter. We'll read, and you know, we might turn there real quick to Matthew 19, 28. That's Matthew chapter 19, verse 28. And you'll also read of this in Luke chapter 22, 30. We'll read here of Peter's place. And reading from the 27th verse, and this again, here's Peter even asking the Lord. Then answered Peter and said unto him, behold, we have forsaken all. See, Peter always told you what he did, didn't he? We're not going to study too much more about the man he was. We're going to talk about, praise God, the man he's glorying in, that the Lord made him. But he said, we have forsaken all and follow thee. What shall we have therefore? See, he wasn't afraid to ask the Lord about things, was he? Just apply a little bit more wisdom and get into the word, Peter. And Jesus said unto him, or unto them, verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, and obviously he takes that throne in the millennium, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Now he's speaking there to his disciples. And that's the place that the disciples have. Praise God in the kingdom. Isn't that wonderful? They have a wondrous place. And you can see that the Lord even said how it was for His Father to give. And His Father gave those places to those disciples to sit over each one of those tribes. You'll read of that, of the 144,000, 12,000 out of each one of those tribes. And that's the place that He has for those disciples. And that's a precious place, but it's not the place that He's offering us tonight. Isn't that amazing? Praise be to God. I think here is one that walked with the Lord, that spoke with the Lord. Such a man of God. But yet, I do believe in my heart of hearts, this brother did see those things. Obviously, he did preach those things. But yet, he also knew that he could not go into that. And there's a great admiration I have for Brother Peter. Just as Moses, just as Daniel, they were able to look into something that God had shown them that they knew was not for them. But yet they were still satisfied with Jesus and Jesus alone. That He would do that which is right. That He would give them the exceeding riches of His grace in a way that would fulfill the very will of God. So what a wonderful thing. Now, going on with this thought of Peter before we begin here tonight, there are also many today who highly esteem Peter. And by the grace of God, I highly esteem Peter according to the Word as my brother in Christ. How about you? Amen? Amen. Peter was a sweet disciple. He was a sweet apostle. Yet, as even in his own words, and he says this in 1 Peter 5:1, he tells them, I am just an elder, just as you. And please note, the Word of God clearly tells us, coming out of Corinthians, Paul was the chief apostle. And yet Paul said, it's nothing of me, it's just the grace of God. And let's go ahead, and since we're here, let's go ahead and read Romans chapter 12. And verse 3, I just am encouraged that we all settle down. And again, I appreciated the prayer of my dear sister as we begun tonight. Let's look into the Word. Let's look to the Word. Praise God. It's the Word. And in Romans chapter 12, verse 3, for I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. All right? Let's magnify and put the glory where the glory is due, and that's to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. All right? And I will again magnify, and as Brother Paul said, I claim to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. All right, and then finally, before we begin, brothers and sisters, Peter was the apostle, stated in Galatians chapter 2, verse 8, to the circumcision. He was the apostle to the Jew. We do understand that. But I want you to understand that in this word and in this 1st and 2nd Peter, it is not exclusively written to the Jew. And I know that there will be some that will skate over these wonderful epistles and thinking, well, that's to the circumcision. Let me tell you something. We will read in this wondrous word many inferences here in the 1st and 2nd epistles that is to the Jew and the Gentile alike. But more importantly, in 2 Timothy 3:16, it says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Amen? Amen. All right. And then go ahead and turn over to Galatians chapter 3. We were there on Sunday, but let's go ahead and go back over to Galatians chapter 3. And we'll begin reading from the 26th verse. So we'll get this all straightened away here by the grace of God. It says, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Know that. It's by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So, brothers and sisters, I believe that what this is telling us is we are one in Him. I think it's very clear that there is no differences. There is no differentiation. We are one in Christ Jesus. We are seated in the heavens in Christ. We have become, as Christians, His wonderful new creation. We're His body. This body works together. Works against itself, it's going to get in trouble. But by the grace of God, He's the head, and He's placed us into His body. And in that, I'm hopeful that we'll receive from this letter, it's for my edification, it's for your edification as well. And I believe in this, we're ready to begin our study in 1 Peter. And let's begin in verse 1. And it says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you, and peace be multiplied. What a wonderful invitation. Makes me feel welcome. Hallelujah. Again, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Now, that word Peter, many will say it's a rock. Well, no, it's actually a stone, a very small rock. And Jesus Himself called Brother Peter the sweet little rock, that stone, but praise be to God for a little strength. Don't, let me tell you something, don't think too little about a little strength. There's a group of people that win God's best that had a little strength. And in a little strength, the Lord was able to take a pretty rough fisherman and make him a sweet apostle. And again, specifically, an apostle to who? It says here, strangers that are scattered. And in chapter 2, verse 11, he calls them pilgrims. And praise God, this is a wonderful thing. I was kind of feeling sorry for him as I was reading this at first. I thought again, well, scattered strangers, these poor people. But again, what a blessing here. These precious people had a constant awareness that their true home, their true home was in the heavens in Christ. They knew that they were just passing through. And that word pilgrim, it's so precious. It's a spiritual journey. It truly is. And that's where that word comes from. And let me tell you something. These folks, they knew they were on a spiritual journey. And the awareness that they had of it, that they were scattered, they were persecuted, they were unaccepted. But praise God, they were saved Jews. And this was all throughout the area of what they call Asia Minor. This was all in the area of Turkey where most of this was going on. Now, you talk about a minority. I had a dear friend that is a Jewish man, and a couple of his kids have given their hearts to the Lord. He yet has still come to take Jesus as his Savior. But I remember very well when he told me about his first trip back to the Holy Land. And he was born and raised here, so he went back. And he said, I'll tell you, there's got to be something about that Jesus. That is the backside of a nowhere. That is like, well, he said a God-forsaken place. But he was just saying how it was so hidden. And he said, and all there are over there is a bunch of Jews and Arabs. And how Christianity came out of there, there's got to be something to that Jesus. And I said, oh, yes, there is. Praise God. But this is again where God chose to bring out His wonderful message and again to have the wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in His birth. But again, you think about the minority at this time. We've just come through this Christmas time and how we studied there. There weren't very many people looking for His birth. There was hardly anybody looking for His birth. My goodness, Mary couldn't find a place to give birth. Hell will put you in a stable. This was the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Bill Gates shows up somewhere where it's sold out, I'll guarantee you they'll find him a place. This was Jesus. And even though he had come, and all the witness, and most importantly, his death. And it wasn't done in secret. Oh no. They knew. But yet so quickly, they forgot. They weren't looking. They had eyes and they would see not. They had ears and they heard not. But this was the minority of people, such a minority. And you talk about the discrimination that was going on at that time. These people were persecuted. That's why they were scattered. They literally had to hide. And again, these being mainly Jewish Christians, you could imagine their kindred, as you would say, how they were so disappointed with them. I know of families where some of their children have given their heart to the Lord, Jewish families, and to the parents, they were dead. And they'll tell you that. Now, I'm thankful that there is a natural love there, and for some of the families, and the Lord has allowed me to witness to them, and I tell them very assuredly, they're not dead. They're really alive. They're so alive. Matter of fact, you're dead. Yeah. That's right. And there's only one alive I want to be, and that's being alive to Jesus and having His life living in me. But this is that separation that happened. This is why they had to be scattered. These were the very first Christians. And many of whom the only way that they were ever accepted by society is they had to be a slave. And most of these different Christians were slaves. And again, all because of their love for Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? All because of their love for Jesus. Isn't it wonderful to think how rich these brothers and sisters were, right then, were rich because they were suffering for His name's sake. Now, the next question that some might ask is, well, in that one verse or these two verses, how do we know that they're Christians? Well, if you read through the chapters, you understand that they're Christians. But right off the bat, there's this wonderful word in the second verse here, elect. What a word. Praise God. Now, so wonderful, I believe all of us here know it means chosen. But the Lord didn't encourage me to really get into that. And it means, I'll tell you what, it's exceeding abundantly above all I ask or think. It means to the Jew or Gentile, and it refers to chosen as in a spiritual race. Think about that. And this was Brother Peter being the vessel to give to these brothers and sisters. I am still, I have to tell you, just so thrilled that God used this brother, who we have previously read, was going to take that throne to rule over one of those tribes. And yet here he was, chosen to give these brothers and sisters the message of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, that they would receive it. Can you imagine that? Now, I would hope that I'd be willing to do that. But I am so thankful that by the grace of God, I can participate in it. But there is a love that I have for my brother Peter that he was willing to give this. And I don't see of any of the sadness. He took what God had given him to the fullest. And he loved that and he embraced that. And he was also so thankful. And obviously, as we read, he was crucified upside down for giving out this message. These were his final words. And praise God, this was the message he gave. He gave out God's best. It makes me excited. I hope it does you too. But you see, Gentiles and Jews alike chosen to be in a spiritual race. This has great significance here. Even though that they were scattered, these were the most honorable, the most royal, the most chosen. And in that, I want us to turn over to Ephesians chapter 1. And I'll kind of let the cat out of the bag just a little bit here with you. And maybe some of you have come upon this before. But I truly believe as we study this, brothers and sisters, we will see very clearly that this is truly Peter's Ephesians. This follows the book of Ephesians so much in parallel, so much in depth. It is so wonderful, again, what the Lord did through this sweet brother in bringing out this message. So in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1, let's begin reading. It says here, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Now, it seems like I just read that, didn't I? Except it was Peter, an apostle, praise God, of Jesus Christ. Now, let's continue on here. And you think about that, though, the apostles, they're manufactured the same way, all by the grace of God, aren't they? You all by the grace of God? Amen. Amen. Let's know it and let's continue to grow in it. That's how we're going to grow. But again, it says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God to the saints which are at Ephesus to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Goes on to say, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now verse 4, let's take note. According as he hath chosen us. Now praise God. See, there's the election. He hath chosen us. Romans chapter 8, verse 29. Goes on to say there, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. All right? Now again, let's not be confused that predestination did not become before foreknowledge. He foreknew. God knows everything. He knows your thought afar off. And when he was talking about that, he knew your thought before the foundation of the worlds, of the universe. He knew that. He knows you. He would that all men be saved. He is not a respecter of person. But let me tell you something. He still knew. He still knew whose heart would be willing. Now there's been many times I would think, and I will explain this to you in sincerity of my heart, and I believe the Lord would want me to bring this out. Well then why, Lord? If you knew, we didn't even have to, in a sense, maybe go through this. You know how your mind will go in these ways. But see, the plan of God, his son had to come to die. Oh, praise God. And then praise God in that. He said, I am searching for that goodly pearl. Oh, hallelujah. Let me tell you something. This has not all played out yet. The Lord knew what heart would receive. He knew what heart would take it. But by the grace of God, he is seeking today and searching for that true worshiper that will worship him and worships him in spirit and in truth. Isn't that wonderful? See, to know the word of God, we understand the purpose and meaning and how vital this time is right now, brothers and sisters. That it is truly all for the taking. His son's hand in marriage is there for the taking. And his wife hath made herself ready. She wants him. She desires him. That is, again, her heart's desire. But as it says here, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, going back here to verse 4 of 1 Ephesians, chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. I tell you, you know, there's often times, yep, I will admit, I've had my pity party, and I didn't think anybody was thinking of me. Nobody cares. My phone hasn't rang. And yet I have here a very God that's been thinking of me before the foundation. How much more special does he have to tell us over and over in the Word of God that we are to him? I'm telling you, every hair on my head is standing up. I'm just, thank God it's calmed down, or I'd scare you all. But it's just, it is, it's just real. I mean, I pray that this excites you. I pray that this is everything. This is what's real. It's not what man thinks of you. It's what God sees in you. And praise him, what he's doing in you. The work, how magnificent. Growing me up into him in all things. I just can't imagine. But I believe him. See, that's where he says, son, your mind will always kind of fail and cease, and it only can go about that far. But in believing and receiving his word and believing him at his word, he takes me everywhere. Isn't that wonderful? He does, doesn't he? You know what I'm talking about. It's just, again, the exceeding riches of his grace that does it. But here we have, in ages past, he saw their hearts, didn't he? Just as he saw our heart in ages past. He saw your heart in ages past. He established a path. He filled it full of the before ordained good works that we should, there's the choice of yielding, walk in them. Oh, what a privilege. Praise God. I'm learning more and more. Lord, you know better than I do. I want your before ordained good works, not my mess. Oh, I've been reading and just thrilling about old Abram and how there was such rejoicing in the Lord when he stayed there looking at the house of God. Stayed right there, building the altar in his life. Oh, God forbid, help me not to go down to Egypt. Keeps drawing at us all the time, doesn't it? Hallelujah. And you think about that drawing at us all the time. And I'm not just talking in that blatant sin. I'm talking about drawing at us in Christian good. And I'm finding out, Lord, I'm never going to be the worshiper that worships you in spirit and in truth, trying to worship down there in the world. It's not going to happen. I'm seated in the heavens in Christ Jesus. You've called me into the very perfect will of God. You've called me to come boldly into the throne of grace that I can worship you right there. I like it there. Feels good. Praise the Lord. I feel like Brother David when he says, oh, I've come into the courts of the Lord. I'm back. I don't want to leave. I think we all know that experience and how he just continues to call that prodigal back home, doesn't he? Come on, it's sitting there for you, son. Got my coat, ring. Oh, but Dad, even if you didn't bring the coat or the ring, just that embrace and that kiss. I was looking at my daddy today, my natural dad, and sure love that man. And I have to admit, I miss the kiss. I miss his hand. But praise God, I've got a father that death can't separate me. My sin, My failure can't separate me because His sweet Son, His blood's all over my life. Now, in the ages past, He established a path. He filled it full of before good works that I should walk in. And He provided the all-sufficient grace. And praise God, even though these brothers and sisters were naturally poor, they were in great poverty. They were being hunted as the partridge on the hillside. As Brother David, they were as rich could be. They were as safe could be. By the grace of God, they were in the everlasting arms. And sometimes I have to tell you, I'm encouraged to read about my brothers and sisters in Christ. I hope we're encouraged all the time. But especially sometimes when I get a little bit, woe is me. When I get a little bit, oh Lord, why again? Why are we going through this again? Can I have a reprieve for just a moment? Well, let me tell you something. I don't think I've met anybody in here that's been scattered and is a stranger and is being hunted and is in slavery. You can pick your heads up now. But God knows what your testing needs to be too. Yeah. Amen. All right. And I've been in times, I'm telling you, I felt guilty at times. I said, oh Lord, in a lot of ways, and I hope you all have too. Maybe it was just me. Lord, You've been so good to me. So merciful to my life. I read about these trials of these brothers and sisters, especially my brother Paul, and I'm ashamed. I sit there and murmur and complain that my house didn't heat up like it should have today. Huh? Oh my, I gotta lift up the toilet lid and shake the little thing because it's running. Huh? These folks didn't have a place maybe to put their head down. Because they were looking to take their head off. So, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I tell you, let Him put these things in your heart. I believe He convicts us to some wondrous glory and thankfulness. But in that, I wanted to tell you again, and you've heard me say it before. He said, son, just settle down. He said, you trust me. Just give me your attention, son. I'll take you in spirit everywhere you need to go. It's the truth. It's the truth. He'll take you to the place where you're taking the knife over your only son, just like Abraham and Isaac. He will. He will. Promise you. Say, Lord, I was there. There with you. And it was your faithfulness that brought me to that place that I was willing to be willing. It's awesome. We need to trust Him. My dear sister again reminded me today, and I appreciate my dear sisters. They really remind me of some stuff. They get on me. Quit living below your means in faith. Huh? Quit living below your means in grace. Yeah, I love that. That's the encouragement I love to hear. So, here we are. We've come to verse 2. Oh my, we might be here for some years now. But see, there's just so much here. It's overwhelming, isn't it? I'm thankful of the Word of God and what He brings through. But in verse 2 here, it says, through sanctification of the Spirit. Through sanctification of the Spirit. Now, this is so precious here, and let's know exactly what it is, and let's just turn right to the Word of God, and let's go over here to 2 Thessalonians. And we'll go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. And that's 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. It says there, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning. See, how many times does He have to tell us from the beginning? He loves you. He was after you for a long time. Because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Oh, hallelujah. What wonderful, wonderful word in that. And again, we praise God to know that the Word of God gives us all our answers. Unto obedience, it goes on to say, and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. And praise God. What potential we have when the blood is applied. And yes, the Word of God tells us that that blood was shed for all man. That blood was shed for all man. But it must be applied individually, brothers and sisters, for it to take effect. It has to be by faith. It has to be by faith for me. He died for me. He died for you. That, by the grace of God, is that blood being applied. The power in the blood that, again, begins to work in me. And praise God, when it's applied, it truly is to my life, hello, new man. Isn't that wonderful? His very life has come into my life. Praise God. He has come to dwell in me. And think about that. The very power of God. I have it. I have His life. The very power of God is Christ Jesus. I have His life. And praise God, that sweet sanctification that we just read about here, that separated me from death to life everlasting, that sweet sanctification of the Spirit that did that. As we then yield to that power, the power that's in that sanctification, you'll find is limitless. It's absolutely limitless. It's limitless in that I can live a life here on earth separated to God. Oh no, did you hear what I said? I can actually live here on this earth and I can live a life that is separated to God. See, there's no limit in this power of sanctification in my life. This separated to God life in Him. And it's in that separation, praise God, as we continue to read here, that I can become obedient. You see the obedience that's there in that wonderful verse 2? That I can become obedient and I can live a life that will and do of His good pleasure. Brothers and sisters, we do not need to live a life that's defeated. It is finished. And when He said it is finished, it's finished. And in that finishing work, it provided every victory for your life. Every victory. That provision. The victory. People have asked me before about different things in my life. Are you delivered? Yes, I am delivered. I just want to have confidence in that deliverance. I do. It's there. He said, I have been blessed. And we read about this. I have been blessed. You have been blessed with all the spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. There couldn't be anything missing. And if I'm blessed with all the spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ, I have every provision for victory in my life. The only thing that's holding me back is my unbelief. I have it. I see, I'm beginning to see more and more and more and more and more that bank account that Brother Hill would always speak about. I always wanted to see that bank account. Oh, hallelujah. I'm seeing it. And you could never exhaust it. Ever. And all He wants me to do is to continue. I fight with some in the family. I got to watch this about saving their dollars. But the Lord wants me to just keep writing the checks of faith. Just keep writing them. And the more I write, the more you write, do you know the bigger that account gets? According to the measure of faith. I just can't imagine how tremendous it could become. Do you see what power that we have in Him? To truly draw upon the account of, if He be for me, who could be against me? To truly draw upon the account, son, I want it to be, it is well. My, oh my. Boy, these are times to ponder it, isn't it? Thank God He caught me on a Wednesday. I didn't know if I could make it to Friday, huh? Oh, listen to Him. Listen to Him. This is His Word. It's sweet. It's alive and it's living and it's abundant life if we'll apply it in believing. Now, this is a life, again, that can live, as we've been pointing out here, and the different brothers have as well, too. It can live a life filled with all the fullness of God. It's a life, brothers and sisters, teeming with the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe. Amen. Amen. That's the Word of God. You're going to find that all in Ephesians. I said, oh, I thought you just read that in Peter. Well, I did, in a little different matter. It's all throughout the Word of God. He wants us to just take of the power that's already there, that's already been given. But again, that the greatness of His power to usward who believe. Do you believe in Him? The power's there. Isn't that amazing? And yet, Lord, I felt so hopeless today. Well, praise God, that's when the power should be turned on. When I realize that I don't have any more strength in this situation. One thing I've come to really appreciate with the Lord, and I mean this, is when He's put me in a predicament when I can't do a thing. Aren't you thankful for that? The ones I don't like is when I can struggle and flip around. You know what I'm saying? Nope. Like a fish. That river's way too far away. There's no way I'm getting over there. I'm done. Lord, it's got to be You. Boy, savor those times. Really. Really, really savor them. Because you know it's got to be His power. Uh-huh. When He's taken it all those, anything of me out of this situation, you know. And then, Lord, it's got to be You. So again, and we'll wrap this up, merely surrendering, brothers and sisters, to His perfect plan for me. Believing completely in that indwelling power. And I'm talking about the greater that is He that is in me power. That's the power we're talking about. The always having all sufficiency in all things power. And we'll go back and we'll read that one again. Always having all sufficiency in all things power, that in Him by grace I can have obedience to His Word. I'm thankful for that. See, it's on Him again. I am His workmanship. I'm His workmanship. He's creating those good works in me. By the grace of God, I just need to surrender to that. It's nothing of me to do. There was a long time and a lot of times in my life, as the Lord was really dealing with me, there was a zeal that was building up in my life. And I appreciate this brother Peter, because there was a lot of, I want to go out and do. Lord, I want You to do it, and I want You to do it now. And Lord, I'm going to do it this way because I just have so much love for You. And Peter loved the Lord. And he wanted to show the Lord that he loved Him. And I appreciate in some respects that he was very outspoken about it. Lord, I'm willing to die for You. But what he needed to teach Peter, are you willing to live for me, son? See, he died for me. I'm not dying for him. Oh, no. He said, son, will you live for me? Will you allow my life to come and live in You? My reasonable service, Lord, please come. Do what You want in me. I love You. I love You. That's all. I talked to so many again. A voice from the past called me today. Sweet man. Lord allowed us to really visit in some of the deep things of the Word of God, but it just, I could see it stop there. And the same conversation comes back up. Oh, what I'm going to do for God. And I just said to him, I said, oh, brother. I said, aren't you ready for Him to do in you? There's nothing like it. And there's nothing He's more pleased in. Letting God do it in me. Settle down, Jess. Just settle down. Just be still. There's such a sweetness in being still and knowing that I'm God. There might not be a lot going on. Speaking to my dear aunt today, and sometimes you, and it can be a strange thing. Lord, you've had it very quiet in my life, maybe for years. Don't really feel like I'm going anywhere, getting anywhere, doing anything, but you just have me in your Word. You know, I'm starting to realize that's one of the sweetest places to be.
That's right.
Sometimes longing for those days where I could just continually sit and be still. And He's got me sitting and being still, don't get me wrong. But this is a different chapter in my life that He's using my life to give out the Word of God. So I want to be willing, but I have to be honest before Him and say, but Lord, those were sure some good years sitting and being fed by another vessel too. But you know what? I'm being fed by other vessels as well. I hope you understand that. By the grace of God, you feed me as you run. But see how God takes us through these things? Isn't it wonderful? I think about how blessed Brother Paul must have been with Brother Peter and the things that he was doing. Do you know that they were both, they really believe, killed in A.D. 67, both in Rome? Same year. They believe that they were both martyred at that time. Sweet, sweet thing to think on. But all right. So again, I can live victory. I have this wondrous power. And I can even live the very perfect will of God. Let's turn over to Colossians chapter 4, verse 12. I was going to apologize to you that we went a little bit long here tonight, but how could we apologize for this? You know, I'm learning. You're going to have to take that up with the Lord. I don't listen to the committee. I've got Him. All right. So chapter 4, verse 12 of Colossians. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you always, laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. All right? Settles it? He wants it for you. And He's already made the provision for you. It's already done. And by the grace of God, I really do believe that can begin in our lives. Even if it's never happened to you, you can enter into that right now. Right now. God, I'm going to step in there by faith, and I'm going to trust You for it. And You'll lead me that way. And then finally here again, as He ends it out here in Peter, you'll see here, it's all grace. It's all grace. And all grace equals what? All peace. All grace equals all peace. Just as no grace equals no peace. And it's exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. Don't ever forget that word multiplied. See that word multiplied? The Word of God always has a multiplier effect. That's what the Trinity does. Isn't that wonderful? Second verse, you'll read about Your wonderful Trinity there. There's so much here. Only the Lord will be able to, again, just constrain us in it. But that wonderful multiplier effect of the Trinity, I really was encouraged that all is working together for my good. That Trinity, that Godhead, all works together for my good too. Isn't that wonderful? Hallelujah. And I stand before you, brothers and sisters, tonight professing the divine grace of God. And in that divine grace, I'll tell you what. it increases at an increasing rate. That's the multiplier effect. Let's bow our heads. Dear God, we thank you for this time. We again just appreciate your presence here tonight. We thank you for this study. I am thankful that there's an excitement in our hearts to continue to learn and to grow and to again speak in truth and love that we may grow up into you in all things, Lord. Help that to continue to be our sincere and fervent desire, Lord, that when we do see you face to face, we will be like you. But by the grace of God, may we see you as the mature sons of God. We just ask this in your precious name, Jesus. Amen.